This is Ed Block, Associate Editor with American City and County Magazine, and I'm speaking with Atlanta City Councilman Kwanza Hall regarding his ideas for using Twitter and social networking software to augment 911 services.
And obviously what we'll start off with, if you could please tell us about what happened on May 15th. You're going down the road and you see a woman passed out on the sidewalk. Is that it?
Yes, I was in the area. I was in the MLK Historic District, and I made a left. I guess I was heading south. I made a left, and on the right-hand side of the block, I saw a woman on the ground and another woman kind of, you know, surveying the area with her car parked. As I pulled a little closer, I rolled my window down and the woman, who was a bystander, yelled out, said, "What happened?" And she said, "This woman seems like she is unconscious or she's had a seizure, but I'm not able to get through to 911. I called 911, but I haven't been able to get through." So I'm a city councilman. I pull over in front of her car, and my battery is going dead at this time. It's one of those red lights chirping sounds on the BlackBerry when they're about to die. And the last thing I wanted to do was get a full... to have my battery to go out in the middle of a call with 911, and I just wasn't, I guess, thinking about the fact that they do locate you. But I sent a text to my staff saying, "Call 911, need help here at the corner of Jackson and John Wesley Dobbs. The woman is on the ground. Send EMS."
I'm sorry, now was that going out on Twitter or just directly to you?
That was just a text to my staff.
Okay.
So that was the first thing that I did. And I got the phone and the charger, but I wanted to go check on the person as well. So I'm kind of torn between trying to do all these things at the same time. So I knew my staff could hold the line if my battery went out. He could kind of take care of all of the, behind the scenes, getting 911 to be where we needed them to be. And there are other people that they could reach if necessary. But ideally, just getting 911. So then I hop out the car and I go and check on the woman to see if she got 911. She said, "No, I still haven't been able to get through." I look at the woman. I wanted to actually touch her, but I thought about it. And I was like, "Well, I'm not certified in CPR. I probably don't need to be trying to do anything. I used to be years ago, but I'm not right now. So it wouldn't make sense to do that." I hop back in the car. It goes, my car is running and I have the phone on the charger. So I hop back in and I grab the cell phone, and at that point, I sent a tweet out, a text message out saying, please, send EMS. I can't remember the exact language of it, but it was, meet EMS at the corner of Jackson and John Wesley Dobbs, woman unconscious on the ground. And I think I also made an update on my Facebook page around the same time. And then, as I felt like the calls were, I was able to do those two things, I went ahead and made a call as well for 911 and said, and this is like less than 4 or 5 minutes and all this stuff is going on. It was a real short period of time. I went ahead and called 911, and I got through. And they said that we needed, they would get someone out there as quickly as possible. And by the time I turned around and got out the car and walked back, they were coming up as we were looking at the woman again. So they came pretty quickly. I don't know if it was my staff call, my call, the tweets, or what, but I was really happy that the person was helped. That was really all that mattered to me, just trying to help someone. And, being an elected official, it was just ironic that the week before that, our EMS department had taken a big hit for, an emergency related to a fire and another situation. So, just kind of, it's interesting timing. But I do think there are some great opportunities for us to look into how we could use the social media technology. They're very, very powerful, text messages and things like that. I don't know if it's necessarily Twitter for incoming calls to 911, because you can't really predict what the locations are. You can't verify who the person is. So there's a whole lot of issues on that. But outgoing messages, for sure, I know other municipalities are using those. And I think that's kind of the direction we should all be going in, figuring out how to make this applicable to the needs that citizens have. Because in some cases, people have emergencies and they can't use the phone. And, if a person is, trying to hurt you, you don't want to notify them, you don't want to let them know that you're making a 911 call, because they really might try to hurt you. In domestic situations or just any situation, sometimes you just want to send something that notifies people that it's an emergency where you are.
Okay. So you don't know yet, you just said that you don't know yet how they received the final message to actually get the ambulance dispatched. Have you, called anybody to try to find
them? We've requested that, but we haven't gotten any kind of report back. We haven't even gotten a formal report back on the victim or the person because, there's health records, privacy rules, that they don't have to let us know anything about the person. I don't think she's passed away or anything, but we don't know who she is or what the actual situation is or anything.
Yeah, that might be very hard to get. So have you, you had mentioned before the idea of creating at 911ATL on Twitter yet, right?
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
Yes. I kept going, went home, and, did the other things I had to do. I'm usually a very busy person and just kept doing more functions and things. That Sunday evening, I guess that was the 17th, I got a call, I guess it was 6 or 7, 8 o'clock at night, or a tweet from someone saying, hey, I'm from the AJC News, the local newspaper here, and I would like to talk to you about your use of Twitter the other day for helping someone. So I call him or email him and give him my number. We talk, and during the conversation, I was like, the real thing I felt was that, is there any way that I could send a text message or a tweet or something, a status update, to a 911 agency? That was what I felt the need for. I felt the need to be able to get it to someone that this thing was happening and where it was happening. And there was no way to do it. I was almost like, well, who's the at person for this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can at people for all kinds of other things, but there was no at for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said to him, just really, hey, well, I'll go ahead and set it up, and at 911 and at 911 ATL and at 911 Atlanta. And I have since set it up, but I locked it because we don't want to create any liability to have citizens thinking that this is the first line of defense or that they can use it in substitution for 911. Still, the most important thing to do in case of an emergency is to call 911. And things haven't changed in that regard. But I think from a test case standpoint or to experiment, there may be something that our department could start doing, or what I'm really thinking about doing is pulling together a kind of a working group. Mm-hmm. And maybe get some panels going with folks from the local colleges, Georgia Tech, as well as people from around the country who might have delved into this issue, whether it be in their municipality or with technology companies, and just see what's kind of some best practices. There are people doing things that are very interesting all over the country. I mean, there's LA Fire Department uses Twitter for outgoing information. There's another place, I think in Pennsylvania, that's using Twitter to give full updates to their 911 feeds. So they're putting all their 911 information out on Twitter, which is, I don't know if I would do that. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some interesting things we could try to look at. I know college campuses are using text messages for sure ever since the incidents that have happened on various college campuses and high schools. So I think there's a precedent for embracing the technology, but as we upgrade here in the city, we've got to figure out how we incorporate those next generation 911 tools into what we're doing. But I think there's a great opportunity for us to do it.
Yeah, you've been answering some of the questions I had already. But I think one of them was that how would it work, the at 911 ATL? You said you're going to study still how that would actually function.
Yeah, because we wouldn't from a liability standpoint and just from a effectiveness standpoint, the way the business process works behind the scenes at a formal EMS 911 system would be totally broken if you had to just take anyone sending an at in from wherever, from Japan, saying at 911 Atlanta, I'm on the ground in the south side of town and come help me. You can't really, you can't hold people accountable because anyone can set up an account. So there's some liability issues that would have to be vetted to give people that ability. It's almost easier probably to set up something like a direct text in so they could determine who the call came from. and then having GPS. I know iPhones and really BlackBerries have GPS in them that would enable the 911 operator to know where you are. So that would be a good help. But then also, I think just from a general emergency preparedness perspective, I think there's some room for education in our communities about it, because I don't think people, a lot of times there's all this conflict between 911 operators and the person calling. That's kind of one of those big things you hear about. One group was rude or the other group was rude. The caller is rude or the person taking the call is rude. And that's just heard, you know, you hear about that all around the country. Mm-hmm. And if there's some way to minimize the risk of human error, and you just kind of have to put in, this is location, this is issue, and, you know, that's it. You know, pretty much it's location, issue. Plain and simple, answers to the questions that 911 needs to get things done. And then, I mean, I think we've seen in other municipalities they've gone to the 311 systems. So it takes a lot of that unnecessary call volume off of 911. So, you know, I did not expect to be in the middle of this issue during what is known as National EMS Week. I did not expect to be doing this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but sometimes things just happen for a certain reason, and so now I'm kind of in the middle of figuring out how to make something work over some point. I think, I mean, I do have a technology background. I went to MIT. I guess this is what I'm supposed to work on right now, you know?
I guess. And have other members of the city government kind of joined you in this cause to investigate how this new technology can be used?
Well, we have not had any formal council meetings. Our public safety committee next week will probably discuss it to some degree. I'm going to suggest that we kind of take the discussion, because we're in the middle of our budget talk, so I'm going to suggest that we take the conversation to a separate work group or study group outside of that meeting. But I know it will come up. We will probably hear something from EMS regarding the situation, because it's made all this news. And we'll have to kind of vet it from there. Some colleagues are really concerned about the liability and the potential for a group to flood the 911 system with phone calls. And I think that's a valid argument. However, I would say the same amount of flooding of phone calls happens when 100 people drive by an accident.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there's still that risk of flooding the call. So maybe one of the good things about the technology that's interesting is you could sort the calls by type of call. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can actually vet if the message says problem, or, you know, with search terms with Twitter, you can, or any kind of search tool, you could put keywords. Yeah. And you drop those keywords into a category. So all calls related to, or messages coming in with these keywords in it, automatically get put into one queue, and you don't have to worry about them, and then a person just has to view them. And I'm just thinking behind the scenes of what a business process might look like. So they're vetting those calls, but then the rest of the calls get put into the main hopper that are not, or text messages or whatever messages coming in that are not related to that keyword, go somewhere else for the main box. So there's, you know, there could be a way whenever there's high call volume, I'm assuming, I guess they don't have anything to do right now. I mean, when people call in, and maybe it's blocked based on GPS. I don't know. You get put behind the queue if you're calling from the same geographic area. That would be interesting. I mean, I think there's a lot of room for playing around with this without, you know, obviously doing testing in real time, but just seeing how it would work.